Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Cut! I can't work like this!
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Season 6, Episode 4, Instant Karma. I need some clarity here. Is this exclamation point actually part of the title?
Yep.
In Instant Karma! And now, here are your hosts.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Can we go again? That was really more of an italic than an exclamation point.
Hi, Tara and Dave.
Hi!
Before we get into this episode, we actually can work like this, but we work on a lot of stuff, and we want to tell you what is going on over on the Patreon. This Thursday, June 25th, we'll be dropping the June edition of Again With Them. That is our monthly recap digest of Jenny and Tori's terrible podcast, 90210 OMG. As we mentioned a couple of episodes ago, just a reminder, for the next 3 months, before we sunset the $2 tier, all club members will be getting all perks, including this. So strap in to hear what you have been missing. Do not listen to it yourselves. Please do not do that.
No, and we did not get to announce this ahead of time because of what our main episode scheduling is, but that first Again With This one episode dropped last week. That is season one, episode one of My So-Called Life, episode inventively titled Pilot. It dropped on Thursday, June 18th. Normally, those will be more between the Again With Thems. These have been a bit squished this month. So go back and listen to that one if you did not notice it was in your feed. This Friday, June 26th, we are closing out Pride Month with Again With This 293. Let's watch Luke Perry in Will and Grace. That's season 7, episode 17, The Birds and the Bees. It's on Hulu. We'll link that in the show notes. We are then going to be taking off the week of both our national holidays. So on Monday, June 29th, we'll be bringing 2 episodes out from behind the club paywall for a Michelle Williams showcase. Again with this 201 when we watched her in The Station Agent. And again with this 246 when we watched her in Dick.
And then that Friday, July 3rd, club members will hear again with this episode 294. Let's watch Katie Holmes in Poker Face. That is season 2, episode 2, Last Looks, and it is available on Peacock.
Indeed, and then we will return to our regular schedule Monday, July 6th with our episode on season 6, episode 5, The Imposters. For information on everything we're doing in the club, go to againwiththispodcast.com/club. It is just $5 to get so very much more every day, practically. So you should check it out.
Yeah.
Let's get into this episode, starting with our B plot. Pacey and Audrey end up in another avoidable fight while Jack's dreams crash on Freeman's reality. This plotline opens with Audrey at Hell's Kitchen calling Pacey at his desk. It is after dark and he's supposed to have met her already, but he's studying for his Series 7 exam and doesn't think he's going to make it. She complains that she hasn't seen him in days. The plan is to go to the biggest party of the year. The year is like 3 weeks old at this point, if they mean the school year.
Yep.
They discuss that. Clip 2.
I gotta study.
No, PC, you gotta be with your girlfriend tonight. She's beginning to forget what sex is like. She may be forced to shag a stranger to remember.
Okay, look. Tomorrow night, I promise you an all-night Witter Liddell shag fest of epic proportions.
Plus, I'll do the
thing that you like. You know, with the,
With the thing?
Yes, the thing.
Do you?
I would love to know if you were a viewer of the show who was, like, maybe too young and your parents didn't know you were watching it, please add us on Blue Sky with what you and your friends thought that meant, what the thing was, and what they were going to do.
What was the, it's like the L.A. Law thing, the Venus.
Venus butterfly?
Butterfly? Yeah. Uh-huh. That thing? Oh. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Audrey says this exam crap better be over soon because responsible Pacey is a drag. Pacey accepts that and says he loves her. And Audrey, still sounding fond, says, yeah, yeah. And he kind of makes a face. So, you know, trouble between them is going both ways, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And after Audrey's hung up, she whines to Jen and Jack that she might go home. Jen and her now too short bangs start right in with the guilts, but Jack is kind of on Audrey's side, saying he's tired and Kate and Leopold is on cable tonight. Once again, we must assume the episode was short because Jen gets a monologue about wanting to go out, get drunk, and make out with a stranger, none of which will be any fun if they're not there to witness it and roast her for it later. Audrey and Jack let themselves be convinced. Clip 3.
Tonight, we are going to have fun. We are going to dance on tabletops. We are going to scream woohoo. In short, we're going to party like it's 1999. Now, come on.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Woo.
Wow.
Once again, for future use, clip 4.
Woo.
Woohoo.
I mean, real final season. Let's just get through this with beer energy from all three of them.
That's also me if someone tries to get me to go out on a Friday. I'm tired. Kate and Leopold is on cable. Leave me alone.
Well, seriously. Also, it's amateur hour. Mm. Where were you last night?
Pacey is still at his desk when Rinaldi rolls in with a bunch of older dudes and tells Pacey to come with them to some clubs. Pacey tries to beg off to study, but Rinaldi says it's not a question and lectures that the reason Pacey's never seen any of these guys is that they are Pacey's boss's bosses who hold the future of his career in their hands. I mean, they definitely look like it because some of them are bald. Like, I don't know what clubs they're going to, but I hope they're not going to try and dance.
Yeah, there's it's in the visual aids. The man has liver spots. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, good for him, I guess, for sure. Still enjoying the dance nudity liaison arts at his age? And question mark. I hope he's a good tipper, but I'm not buying it. Like, this whole episode is extremely egregious in the we could not find extras under 32. Department, and it's a little bit sad.
Well, yes. I also assume the only reason Rinaldi does not tell Pacey in so many words not to puss out is that the WB's standards and practices nixed it, said he was not allowed. We, of course, have no way of knowing that. Pacey tries to call his girlfriend first, he says, but obviously we all know that's not going to fly. Rinaldi calling him adorable and ordering Pacey to get his coat. I mean, it's still September, isn't it? Do you really need a coat? I guess you need your suit jacket. Finding yourself in a no-win situation like this is a great sign you're not on the right career path, by the way. Just a note to Pacey personally. Mm-hmm. And we rejoin him and the gang of losers after the first club. Rinaldi marveling that Pacey turned down the multiple women who hit on him. Rinaldi doesn't think he could be that faithful to any girl, no matter how hot she was. Pacey, clip 5.
I think that one of those girls was a guy.
Yeah, but I thought that was your thing.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. The constant misogyny and homophobia of this world. Like, we get it. Well, I'm sure that's accurate. It's not interesting. Stop. No,
but I think there's been a joke at the expense of the LGBTQ community in every episode of the season so far, and not only at the office where Pacey works. In episode 1, Dawson was excited to tell Joey something, and she guesses it's that he's gay, to which he just says that. And so, okay, not too offensive. Episode 2, Rinaldi tells Pacey his suit is gay. Episode 3, we get both Light in the Loafers and Joey's Hell's Kitchen customer speculating that the recipient of her email is gay, although they smooth that over by having one of his friends say, that guy is gay, so it's okay, I guess. But, you know, considering how poorly serviced, no pun intended, the show's gay character has been, this is not really a cool way to go about your business on the show.
No, like there's so many ways in which Wall Street bros suck. Mm-hmm. So find another one. This isn't cute. And I don't feel like the show understands why.
No,
this is not cute. So,
but at least if you're going to confine it to that storyline, it would make sense. Like we're building a vision of the world, like stop letting it spill over to the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, around another corner, Audrey, Jack, and Jen are leaving Hell's Kitchen for their party. Takes Audrey a beat to remember that she actually does know where it is. Clip 6.
It's down on Waverly Road, right next to that giant supermarket that has the free aisle.
Cool, let's go. I'm cold.
Audrey, what's a free aisle?
You know, the aisle that has the little plastic bins filled with the food that you can snack on while you shop?
No, those are bulk bins. You're supposed to put the food in little plastic baggies and then pay for it.
Really?
Come on. Come on.
Well, I don't know. She's rich. She's probably never done her own grocery shopping still.
Yeah. Anyway. Maybe.
Also, I would never do that. None of us would. It's wrong.
Oh, my God. I think my family still might owe the King's Supermarket chain money for all the green beans that I ate as a child. But I was four.
Right.
Not in college.
Both groups then run into each other just as Rinaldi is yelling the plan to go to a strip club in Waltham. So that leads to clip 7.
Can we just discuss this calmly, please?
What discuss? There's nothing to discuss. You lie.
I didn't lie. I was studying, and then this work thing just came
Since
up.
Since when does a bunch of jerks in suits stuffing dollars down a G-string count as work?
I think there are a lot of industries where that counts as work, actually, and that is part of the problem with the world.
Yeah, seriously. Justice for strip club workers trying to unionize, also.
Indeed. There's more. Clip 8.
You can't possibly understand how important it is that these men invited me to come out with them. I couldn't say no.
I don't even know who you are anymore, PC. You're like some smarmy stockbroker guy. All you care about is your stupid job.
Because I don't want to live off mac and cheese and ramen noodles for the rest of my life, and that's how it will be for me if I don't bust my ass and play by their rules. I mean, I wish that I can continue ignoring reality, but I can't, because we don't all live in Audrey Land.
Right. And I'm just some dumb, rich airhead who doesn't get it.
That's not what I'm saying.
Actually, I think it's exactly what you're saying.
Then I'm sorry. Okay? I'm sorry. It's just that this job is important to me. And I like it, and I'm good at it. And honestly, I wish you could be a little bit more understanding.
I think I understand perfectly. I hope you have fun, PC. Come on, you guys, let's go.
Audrey, come on.
Don't follow me.
Okay, they've had this exact same fight before, so what's it gonna be? Like, whatever, they're college age. It's fine to just, like, fuck and think you love each other and then be fundamentally incompatible and figure that out after a year, but... Like, I feel like last season's Audrey would at least respect that he's not on a university track and he's trying to do what he's trying to do. I don't know. I just don't like stockbroker Pacey for a bunch of reasons, and none of them are really about stockbroker Pacey. This is just a dumb plot line. Find something else for him to do. Why can't he still work at the marina? It's dumb.
Right. I also don't know how he can be like, and I'm good at it. Like, do you can't even keep your commissions. You don't know if you're good at it.
Yeah, are you? Exactly. Thank you for bringing that up. I agree.
Okay. As Pacey watches Jen and Jack leave with Audrey, Rinaldi tells him to shake it off. And, you know, that's another problem. Maybe don't take life advice from this guy who's clearly a huge shithead. And you could tell that from the first second you met him.
Mm-hmm.
At the party later, Audrey is ranting on about how wrong Pacey is for wanting to hang out with the guys from work instead of her before realizing that she has broken their party pact. Jen and Jack insincerely say it's fine, so Audrey gets right back into it. Pete used to make fun of guys like that. He never wants to have sex anymore. They're literally down to 3 times a week. Jen abruptly takes off to get another beer, abandoning an alarmed Jack to babysit Audrey, as you can see in the visual aids. Well, he tries to be like, no, oh, hi, when she looks at him. And no sooner has Jen gotten her beer than she turns and splashes a lot of it on CJ, apologizing because she says he doesn't even drink. I don't think that's been established. I think she's just assuming that because it seems like this peer counseling group is like Christian-y. I don't know where she got that from. Anyway. He is very nice and patient as she babbles on that she's drunk, escaping reality, which is what people do at parties. And if it bothers him, then he shouldn't come to parties where there are going to be drunk people drinking. He and his new ugly choker, you can see in the visual aids, although it's much more visible at the end of the episode, unfortunately, gather that Jen thinks he is the lamest, most square person on earth. And she says, no, she's sure he's tons of fun. And he gives her a long, sexy look before she takes off again. And as Audrey now rants that she has a phone, Pacey could use call her anytime. Jack is relieved to see his crush, Professor Freeman, walk in. His party clothes are so cringe. This is so a 32-year-old's idea of what to wear to a co-ed party. Like, this black sort of textured button-down, untucked because he's edgy, and then, like, relaxed fit Gap jeans. It's also so wrong. So wrong.
God. He's absolutely a just charisma-free actor as well. Like, very attractive and zero sizzle. None. Yep.
This time, Freeman does recognize Jack, who rushes straight over to him. Clip 9.
What are you doing here? I mean, not that I'm not glad to see you. I think it's cool that you showed up, but I mean, I didn't expect to.
You know, seeing as I teach what's generally considered to be a cool, non-stodgy topic, every once in a while a student sees fit to extend an invitation. Usually in jest, I'm sure. I never think I'd actually show up.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
Stodgy topic, eh? How's it going at York University? Oh my God.
They wouldn't assume that you would come, and you shouldn't come. Because
no, you shouldn't.
You're not a student, and this is not for you.
No, it's not.
But I guess this was the writer's best idea of how to put him back in Jack's path on a episode that's taking place all basically a little bit in the afternoon and one night. So off they go to the bar. And I guess they should both hope there's no code of conduct around professors drinking with underage students. This really is a party school. When we rejoin the blondes, they're playing quarters with a couple of dudes who don't get any lines yet. Audrey's phone rings and she takes a deep breath before telling Pacey she is so rich and such an airhead that she can do this, which is drop her phone in a tall glass of beer. And these are, of course, the old, like, Nokia numbers where it's like, I don't know if that would kill a Nokia phone, actually. It might be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think so.
Jen watches Audrey chug her phone-free beer and resume the game, looking like drunk people escaping reality is not as cool as she thought it was a few minutes ago. Then we return to Jack and Freeman. They're coming for our jobs. Clip 10.
I think my favorite is the one where they legalize gambling and Marge gets addicted. Although the one where Homer becomes a monorail conductor is awesome, too.
Yeah. My favorite is when Selma, she marries Troy McClure.
A classic. Classic.
Okay.
I mean, these are so basic, too.
Thank you. Yes. The first two of those episodes of The Simpsons are in the canon. Are for our TV episode Hall of Fame at Extra Hot Grade, our sister podcast. Check it out. The third is a little too winky for me, but I get it. Why it would be someone's favorite. It's got some good jokes. Mm-hmm. Jack can't believe he's talking to his professor about stuff like this. Last year, he didn't know his professors. Freeman is surprised. Jack explains his lost freshman year as briefly as possible. Freeman thinks Jack's work is excellent. He really liked Jack's last paper. Jack tries to be humble, but clip 11.
You have a natural gift for looking beneath the surface and seeing what's really going on.
Oh, does he? Interesting.
Okay. All right, Professor DL. Yeah, what? You didn't even remember who he was the last time you ran into him, but okay.
Well, maybe he dug out the Facebook, tried to put a hot face to a name on his list.
Maybe.
Anywho, Jack stammers that he really likes Freeman's class, which has been established. Stop fawning. Freeman comments that he met his wife at a party like this in grad school, and Jack tries not to wilt too obviously at the mention of her. Clip 12.
She had purple hair all the way down to her waist. Seems like a million years ago. She's pregnant. She just told me yesterday. She's at this conference in Philadelphia. I just couldn't sit in that apartment by myself. I mean, I'm just so... I don't know. Everything just feels a little too real. Maybe that's why I came here tonight. Yeah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be telling you all this.
No, it's okay. It's all right. I don't mind.
No.
You should mind.
You should mind, and he should not be telling you this. No, for real.
His wife should mind. What? You really want to go to a second prizes to conferences? but I kid my half the family that's from Philly. I just feel like, wouldn't you decide to go with her?
Perhaps. I don't know. Freeman says he feels ridiculous, and he should, but Jack awkwardly says what's ridiculous is that he feels ridiculous, and they both laugh at that because Jack is drunk. Meanwhile, Pacey is fruitlessly calling Audrey again. Rinaldi threatens to confiscate his phone, reminding Pacey that there are naked ladies there dancing for their dollar bills. And doesn't Pacey want to help single mothers and college students make a living? Pacey's still mopey, so Rinaldi takes him aside to talk for real, telling Pacey about a time he heard a girl like Pacey hurt Audrey tonight, worse even. He spent the night trying to call her, crying his eyes out, but when she wouldn't take his calls, he went to her house. No flowers or anything, it was just the two of them. Clip 13.
And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I didn't need to say anything because we both knew that I loved her and I was sorry. That's why I don't think you need to sweat this. If you love her and you're sorry, she'll know, man.
Rich, you are full of such unbelievable crap.
Come on, that was gold. You call
yourself. I mean, okay, at least he was full of shit.
Yes.
Although I would buy it from that actor, but that's a different conversation.
Well,
Hubba.
Rinaldi says there's nothing Pacey can do about it now, and since he and Audrey both need time to cool off, so they should go see some strippers, and Pacey lets himself be convinced. At the party, Audrey's on a couch with the guy who was perched next to her during quarters. He is now sitting way too close. He says she's cute, and she says she's also very dumb, and don't forget, rich. He doesn't mind. He gets her to kiss him, only briefly, possibly because Audrey is so wasted, her lips don't work. And when she leans away and tries to go sleep on the arm of the chair, the guy asks if she wants to go somewhere to be alone, and she mumbles that that sounds fine. Jen is on the stairs talking about bands to another guy when Audrey's would-be date rapist appears with her to take her upstairs. Jen is not so drunk that she can't tell Audrey's way too drunk and tries to stop him, but Audrey slurs that she'll be fine. When Jen tries to follow them and rescue Audrey, the guy that she was talking to physically blocks the way, saying Audrey will be fine and his buddy's a good guy. Jen starts to sober up as she gets more concerned until CJ joins them. Clip 14.
Hey, what's the problem?
This guy won't let me through. His friend just took Audrey up to a bedroom and she's about to pass out.
Okay, dude, that's not what's happening. Your psycho chick friend here is just freaking out.
Then it won't be a problem if we go check it out, will it?
Oh, CJ.
Yeah.
This is working on me, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Don't hate it. Also, they fixed his hair, so helpful.
It's not so bad. It's not as wispy as Freeman's is, although they're both on a spectrum, let's say.
Of no, yeah.
Yeah. Upstairs, the guy makes the mistake of leaving the bedroom door open after letting Audrey stagger in, so Jen storms in behind them to retrieve her. The bad guy tries to stop her, but CJ's right behind, pushing the bad guy out of the way and telling Jen and Audrey to leave. So CJ for president, I'll just say it.
Mm-hmm.
When Jen and CJ gets Audrey back to her room, Jen tells CJ she's got it from here and he can go. Audrey flops down on her bed, looking shattered. Jen offers water or something, but Audrey orders her to leave, and Jen quietly does as Audrey tears up. When Jen gets out to the hallway, she's touched to see that CJ's still there. He unconvincingly claims he was just about to leave. Jen apologizes for being kind of mean to him earlier, which he nicely says she wasn't. She haltingly says that what happened to Audrey tonight has happened to her before and that watching it from the outside was weird. Clip 15.
Now you know what a mess I am.
I don't think you're a mess.
Well, then you haven't been paying very close attention tonight.
No. You know, Jen, you didn't do anything wrong tonight. And whatever mistakes you have in your past, they're over. They've obviously made you a more empathetic and more compassionate person. I don't think that's such a bad thing.
Well, it's a very nice spin, even if it's not true.
It is true. You just have to learn to believe it.
CJ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, though, this necklace is bad. Seeing the visual. Yes.
It is bad. But, I mean, without it, he might be too hot.
It's true. It's true.
For the show, they're just looking out for us, Tara.
Yeah. But it looks like, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, listeners who have children, it looks like a teething necklace for a baby. Like, that's how chunky it is.
Yeah, it looks uncomfortable as well.
Yes. Anyway, then Freeman is dropping Jack at his house in his Volvo, of course. He thanks Jack for taking pity and hanging out with him all night. And when Jack quickly says he wasn't, Freeman says he was just kidding, and then clip 16.
I had fun, though, tonight.
Yeah, I did, too.
And I needed it. I don't think I felt so confused in my whole life. I mean, here I am. I'm a married man. My wife is pregnant, and I'm showing up at a party just because I'm hoping to run into a certain student. just shocked you, didn't I? You're shocked.
Yeah, you did.
Well, you know, you can just think about it if you want. And I'll just keep teaching class, and I'll see you in the class. And then...
Yeah, I'll see you later.
Right.
Okay.
Good.
I'll see you. Okay.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Fuck, writers.
Really wild. Also, like, dude, I get that you're new to whatever this is, but like, this is not the don't hit on your students that you're going to see all the time. Go to a bar, meet a stranger if this is what you're into. Like, this is just going to cause a lot of trouble in your life.
Yeah. Go to Provincetown. It is right there. Right there.
Then Pacey is knocking on Audrey's door, doing the thing Rinaldi claimed to have done in his bullshit story. She's at least had the wherewithal to change into pajamas before he got there, but when he asks to talk, she kind of flicks her head no. He asks to call her the next day then, and she suggests he come in and hold her, which he does, although when he's spooning her, she looks very guilty, and if that two-second drunk kiss is taken at all seriously, I will be furious, because he did a lot more than that with Alex, and she forgave him. Of course, the main issue being these two just probably shouldn't be together anymore. Perhaps that's where...
Also, she had had too much to drink to consent, so...
Of course. No, I don't think... Yes, but I think she feels guilty, not, like, violated. Although, I guess, who knows?
No, I agree.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
In our A-plot, Dawson and Joey's connection threatens Todd's leading lady. On the soundstage, Todd and his chunky necklace, which you can also see in the visual aids, are yelling complaints so loud that it seems like they're for everyone to hear and quake at. But since all of these extras have apparently been told not to react, I guess this rant is just for Dawson, who is trailing Todd, taking notes and telling him what's handled. Todd stops, puts a cigarette in his mouth and demands that Dawson give him a light. And instead of saying it's 2002 and that's illegal inside, Dawson refuses. On the grounds that Todd's grandfather died of lung cancer and it took Todd 6 months to quit, so Todd explicitly told Dawson never to let him smoke, even if Todd begged. Dawson's convictions are strong enough not to even do it for $12,000. And so, considering that from what we heard about his last film, Todd should probably just be grateful he's doing anything at all when he could very well be in director jail, he sure is being a bitch, and loudly, clip 17.
This is what I get for signing on at this hillbilly circus. I could have been directing a music video in Paris right now for one of those homosexual crooner bands. You know, Instemp or Backdoor Boys or whatever.
Again, stop doing that.
I'm saying, like, it's very noticeable, way more than in any other season.
Yeah, yikes.
They go on. Clip 18.
But no, I have to choose my art. So I really want to get in close on Natasha's nipples, so stick the AC on and make sure they really pop you.
Okay, Todd has been a pig. Not this kind of pig, although I guess leering at Joey 2 episodes ago was our sign that something had shifted, but not cute either.
Yeah, also not cute. Although I feel like he's the actor maybe is trying to position him as like he doesn't really mean it and he's just like a button pusher. Mm-hmm. But the writing of the show is not good enough to make that, to limb that. So
no. Todd says Natasha can be a bit of a handful, Dawson finishes, but Todd was going to say pain in the ass and tells Dawson to keep her happy by any means necessary. Dawson can send her to Todd's trailer now so Todd can pretend to give a shit about her thoughts on the script, but she's not there. Todd starts throwing another tantrum, but Dawson assures him she is at the airport and Phil the PA is going to pick her up, except whoops, Todd fired Phil this afternoon because he got too huffy about Todd throwing a cell phone at his head. Dawson is quietly horrified, but shooting starts in an hour and the leading lady's at the airport getting picked up by no one, so Dawson will go get her. Todd bellows at him to go, and Dawson collects himself before having a private little smile, because even though Todd is a screamy nightmare, Dawson is still living his dream, which is nice, I guess. And after the cold open, Red Hell's Kitchen, where Joey's reading On the Road and getting needled about it by Eddie, who notes that their paper on it is due Monday and she's only on page 109. Apparently, Maggie Friedman, who wrote this episode, did it without knowing that Anna Fricke ended the previous one with Joey and Eddie having a fond look across the classroom, because Eddie's back doing pigtail pulling flirt teasing and Joey's just hostile, making him agree to leave her alone before telling him what she thinks of the book. Clip 19.
I think it sucks.
Huh. Oh, what? Just because every quasi-Bohemian hipster with pretensions of literary greatness worships at the altar of Kerouac, that means I should too?
No.
I mean, it's just boring. And it meanders, and there's no story. It's just one long run-on sentence. And it's all macho posturing and misogyny.
Kind of like this season?
Yes.
Look, it's a minor classic, but it is a minor classic. Classic. The rambling was pretty compelling. I don't know. Like,
I don't agree. I'm with Joey. I fucking hated that book.
Well, fair enough. Per Truman Capote, this is not writing. This is typing. I understand why people feel that way.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I hate some like literary parallel catalysts more than others. Mm-hmm. And I liked this book more than most girls liked it, I think. Mm-hmm. But I hate this choice the most of anything that they've picked.
Yeah. Eddie gives that another, and when Joey bites his head off for it, clip 20.
Well, it's nothing. I'm learning about you.
And what the hell does that mean?
Nothing. Chill.
Oh, what? Just because I don't like a book, that means I'm deficient in some way?
No. I just thought that your opinion was interesting.
Look, I don't need you to patronize me.
Oh, my God. Why are you so angry?
I'm not angry.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm angry at no one.
Oh, I didn't say you were angry at someone. I just said you were angry.
Well, I'm not.
Cool.
Is it a guy? Are you angry at a guy?
Oh, right. Because that's what it always is, isn't it? I don't like you, therefore it must be because some guy broke my heart. It can't just be because you're objectionable in any way.
Really? You don't like me?
You know what? I need to get back to work, so can you please stop talking to me?
Wow. Whoever this guy was, he really must have done a number on you.
Who cares? She is not worth it.
She's not interesting. No, she's not. Although, I don't know if we would say the guy he's thinking of is Dawson or her dad, but either way, yes, Eddie is right. They did do a number on her. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Do agree with him.
Yeah.
But before Joey can lay into him some more, he answers that phone call, which is about a delivery order. And whatever they want, it's such a big order, he ambles off to check with someone else about it. She rolls her eyes as he leaves. And then Dawson's getting to the airport. Natasha is icy, sarcastically saying she doesn't mind waiting for an hour and her ass is not at all numb. She's played by Bianca Kodlich, who I first saw in Bring It On as Carver, also starring her future Dawson's Creek co-star Nicole Bilderbach. Kodlich went on to do one episode of Fastlane with Tiffany Thiessen and Peter Facinelli. She also played Oliver Hudson's character's wife for 100 episodes of Rules of Engagement. And more importantly to my co-host, she played Christina Henry in 8 episodes of Bosch.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
Not very memorably, I guess.
I mean, there were a lot of episodes of gosh, so I forgot all about her, but good for her.
In a car with Dawson, Natasha continues trying to kill him with her mind. He hesitantly tries to start a conversation, but she cuts him off to demand Evian and Altoids, which are in the glove compartment. He asks if she's nervous about her big scene tonight, which, if she were, I assume she wouldn't have cut her arrival so close. But what she says is that her co-star isn't actually going to strangle her. She takes a pull off an airplane liquor bottle. Clip 21.
Drinking?
Smart.
Yeah, I mean, fair. That was pretty funny.
Got me too. He starts to ask if she thinks that's a good idea, but she interrupts. He should stop if he sees a florist because she wants to get Todd some lilies. Dawson starts to say there isn't a florist on the way just as they pass one. Dawson bleats that they're really late. Clip 22.
You want to get me mad? Because if I show up on set mad.
She is not enough of a diva to get away with this behavior. And yet I support her unreservedly. Make Dawson's life hell. It's good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't even get lilies either, which is funny to me.
They get the giantest floral arrangement there ever was, though.
Mm-hmm.
She starts gasping with excitement at how many lights there are. Dawson worriedly asks how much she actually had to drink. When she snaps at him to stop hassling her, calling him Donald, he asks why. She thinks they can agree that Dawson is a stupid name and he looks more like a Donald or Ronald, if he prefers. When Dawson brings her over to Todd, the Hollywood phoniness is thick. Clip 23.
Todd!
Welcome to Boston, you're radiant, darling.
Mwah.
Mwah. Mwah. You're late.
Donald got lost.
They're lovely. Are you ready for the scene?
Got it all up here.
Great. We're running a wee bit behind schedule, so why don't you pop off to wardrobe?
Sure.
Wrong way, love.
Right.
What the hell's wrong with her?
She's tired.
Well, get her to wardrobe and get her some coffee.
Why, TV? It doesn't work.
It doesn't.
Gatorade. Lying down. Only way.
When Donald trails Natasha outside, it is finally confirmed that she hates him for reasons other than making her wait. Clip 24.
Stop pawing at me, busy hands. I can't believe I actually let those hands touch me naked. Thank God nobody here knows I actually dated you.
Natasha, listen.
So, how's that old friend you dumped me for a couple weeks ago? I didn't quite catch her name. Wait, it is a girl, isn't it?
Stop.
I'm saying. Once you notice, you can't stop noticing.
Yeah, it's
so
it really
often.
Is all over it. Ugh.
And they continue, clip 25.
She's fine, I think.
But don't tell me she dumped you already. That is so sad.
Natasha, listen, I'm sorry about what I did to you. I don't blame you if you hate me.
I don't hate you. I pity you.
All right, well, let me help you. How about I get you coffee or a bagel or something?
Yeah, you want to help me? You want to help me? That is so sweet. Okay, I'll tell you how you can help me. Go to hell, Dawson.
Yeah. That would help me as well.
Uh-huh. Same.
One commercial break later, we're on set. Natasha, in character, is running away from a green-masked assailant. When he gets her up against a fence and starts pretending to strangle her, she ruins the take by cracking up that she's going to pee her pants. In the next take, she falls and hurts her boob. In the take after that, she hits the assailant in the junk with her purse and cracks up laughing again, whereupon that guy yells cut, tells Todd he can't work like this. Todd, seething, asks Dawson if she is drunk. Dawson covers for her again, but under further questioning admits maybe a little. Over to Hell's Kitchen, where Eddie's loading the big order into a car with Joey's help. He keeps trying to make small talk, which she rudely ignores, like not even a mm-hmm to acknowledge that a colleague has addressed her. When he asks how she's doing with on the road, she at least asks not to talk, but she's so dull that he's already figured out how to press her buttons and does. Saying he has figured out why she hates the book, clip 26.
It's because it makes you nervous.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's about people who don't follow the dominant path. You know, people kind of just live on their impulses, and that makes a lot of people uncomfortable.
Boring people? People who don't follow their impulses?
I didn't say boring, just safe.
You don't know anything about me.
Now, except for the way people feel about books or movies or music, it says a lot.
I'll have you know, I follow plenty of my impulses. In fact, this summer, on a whim with almost no money to my name, I bought a ticket to Paris.
Really? You went to Paris? How was it?
Well, no, I... The point is that I could have gone.
So you didn't go?
No, but the point is, I could have.
Oh, and here I thought life was about the things you do, not the things you could have done. That's my mistake.
God, this is unbearable. Who cares?
It's not great, but like, he's right. It's her trying to think that she's proved in anything, being like, I bought a ticket, and then the rest of the story is, and then I cashed it in. Like,
yeah, like this is all extremely obvious bait. Stop fucking taking it.
Yes. However, she doesn't argue his point, heading back inside, but Eddie tells her she has to come on the delivery because it's too much for him to deal with on his own, and a Wendy that she suggests instead is covering Eddie at the bar, which Joey legally can't do. And then in a subtle touch, we see the still furious actor playing the strangler stomping up to his trailer just before Eddie parks at the set. Joey realizes what's happening with dawning horror, but still asks Eddie to confirm this is a movie shoot. He has heard it's a slasher fic, in fact, and Joey's like, great. And after the commercial, having set up the food, Joey anxiously asks if they can leave, but Eddie says they have to get paid. And of course, the person Joey's told to ask about that is Dawson, which he would not be handling cash on set. It would be someone with experience who is in the accounting department, not how things work. And the way the person Joey asks vaguely points Dawson out amid a crowd of people makes me assume this crew member also watches the show, because there's like another guy right across the street from the table from Dawson. But anyway, this happens. Clip 27.
Hey.
Hey.
What are you doing here?
Nice to see you too.
Well, no, I'm just surprised is all.
I was delivering some food, and I didn't know it was here until we got here. Believe me, had I known, I wouldn't have.
Right. Right. It's okay.
I wasn't exactly apologizing.
No, why would you?
What does that mean?
Dawson, what are we doing?
Grab a bite quick. I'm gonna need your makeup for the next shot. Hello, love. Nice to see you again.
Hi, Todd.
Okay, so Dawson tries to signal Todd to be cool, but Dawson doesn't see, cheerfully making introductions. Natasha then proceeds to make a scene, and I guess she has stage experience because she projects loud enough for Eddie to apparently hear on the other side of the soundstage. Clip 28.
Oh my God. This is her, isn't it?
Natasha.
You had the nerve to bring her here tonight? Wait. The girl you dumped me for after I gave you the best sex of your life?
Look, can we...
What? I'm just quoting you, Dawson. Sorry, you embarrassed? Because I wouldn't want to embarrass Dawson Leary, what with his chivalrous nature and oh-so-quiet dignity. See, Dawson's the kind of guy who will walk a girl home, you know? Help her with a rain puddle. Real gentleman. Then he'll sleep with her, tell her she's the best he ever had, and break up with her answering machine. So nice to meet you.
You know what? Go ahead. Burn it down.
Seriously. But then...
Especially since, like, this isn't on Joey, but first of all, she shouldn't have, like, dumped Dawson for that, but whatever. But second of all, even if it mortifies Joey, like even if she's taking strays, I don't care. Like, she's such a C in this episode. Like, go ahead. Burn her to the ground, too. Who cares? Yeah. And, like, Todd is, like, throughout this episode is just like, oh,
yes,
making car talk faces. I'm like, Attaboy.
Yeah, both the women stomp off and Todd looks at Dawson, and you can see this in the visual aids because I made a GIF. He gives him like huge wide eyes and then gives him like a respect kind of nod that he pulled both of these girls. It really made me laugh out loud. It was very good.
Yeah, Dawson's just like, well, fair, but also, I don't know. Vanderbeek is sort of funny in this too. I don't know why.
He is. So later, Todd finds Dawson on the stage to give him bad news Dawson seems to be expecting, which is Natasha has said she won't come out of her trailer if Dawson's there. So even though Dawson's the best assistant Todd had ever had and the only person on set he doesn't want to fire, Todd has to let him go. Dawson immediately says he understands. Todd shows him he's so upset he's smoking. Dawson reflexively says he shouldn't. Todd vaguely says that maybe he can hire Dawson back for his next movie. They should keep in touch. And it seems like Dawson can just, like, take a leave of absence for the 3 weeks Natasha's on the set of this obviously low-budget movie and then come back when she returns to L.A. But what do I know?
Yeah, or work in the production office.
Yes.
Or, like, do... There are things you could do as a gopher on a set where you're basically never on. The set asked me how I know. It was an entire day doing Costco runs. It was fine. That's the job. But like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Todd should know this.
Well, he should. But all he says is that he will miss Dawson and leaves him to his sadness. Then Joey is wandering out past Natasha, who gives her the stink eye, to which Joey pulls her sleeves over her hands to remind us all that Natasha is a mean old witch and Joey is baby. So Joey's, I guess, just been in suspension since Natasha had a tantrum, holed up in her trailer, made threats, and got Dawson fired. So sucks that Hell's Kitchen definitely will not pay Joey overtime for all of that. But Dawson comes running after her to pay her. While Eddie watches from his car and Tasha gets her makeup touched up, Dawson tells Joey he thinks he's going back to California because he doesn't work there anymore, which, like, to do what? Live where? Go back to USC?
Aren't you what about at Viz Arts? What is happening?
I don't know. I mean, it's a moot point. We'll get there. But Joey doesn't bother asking why, saying she's sorry and seeming like she means it. He curtly says things happen. After a long beat, Joey says she should probably go. But of course, Dawson can't resist one last murky discussion about the Vietnam that is their relationship. Clip 29.
Wow.
Do you think it would have worked out between us if I, or if we hadn't, if things had been different?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing with us. They never are they?
No. I guess not.
And I think, in a way, that it's good, you know? I mean, maybe it's the only way that we could finally stand on our own. You know, to hurt each other so much that we have no choice but to let go. We never would.
Yeah. Maybe.
Let this be the end.
Stop knowing each other. You're both depressed. It's so bad. Oh my! Do you think it would have been different if it were different? Well,
yes.
Euclid. I don't know. Cut.
Yes. Don't come back here. And then we cut back to Natasha looking sad, unclear why at this moment, which, you know, don't be sad about Dawson. Go for Todd. I think he's funny now. Mm-hmm. Dawson is then loitering around set trying to delay leaving when Natasha runs out from somewhere to tell him she got his job back. She freaked out when she saw Joey because she was drunk and she had gotten drunk to help her nerves at having to see Dawson again because he really hurt her. She liked him a lot and he dumped her on her answering machine. He is sorry. She got his job back because watching him watch Joey leave made her realize Joey hurt him a lot worse. And she tells him to get moving because Todd says if he's not back in 5 minutes, he's fired again. And, you know, that's Todd, I guess. And back at Hell's Kitchen, Eddie and Joey are alone closing up, Eddie having waited for the whole drive back and however much other closing up shit they did to ask about the guy he saw her with. Just an old friend, she claims, and then changes the subject back to on the road, asking Eddie why he likes it. Can't just be because it's about people following their impulses, she says, and then repeats her complaints about it from earlier. Eddie agrees that it has no story, it meanders, and is misogynistic, but clip 30.
And the first time I read it, it blew my mind. I mean, it's like this celebration of madness about people who aren't afraid, who take chances, people who really live. And I guess that I've always wanted to be one of those people, you know?
Meth is everywhere, friendo. Like, truly.
Oh,
like, amphetamines. That's all it is. Don't overthink it. This too can be yours. Find some Sudafed and live your life.
You heard it from Sarah, folks. That's her life advice. While Eddie is standing there
only
awkwardly.
For him.
If you're like Eddie, do meth, says Sarah. Just kidding. While he is standing there awkwardly after that vulnerable declaration, Joey darts forward and kisses him. Now we're talking. Or we would be if Eddie wasn't yet another character on the show who can't help interrogating his own happiness. Clip 31.
What was that?
I was following an impulse.
No, you weren't.
I'm sorry.
It's that guy. From the movie set, you're angry at him and he hurt you. And that's how you chose to deal with it.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Freud.
But tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not. Look, I don't mind you kissing me. If it's because you want to kiss me, not for revenge or to help you forget someone else. You know, whatever happened between you guys, you're going to have to deal with it. Yourself, just you.
I don't mind you kissing me is so cold. I know that's not how he means it, but ow.
It's exactly the kind of thing you would expect from a Kerouac fan bartender who is like just enough hotter than most of the, you know, wet ends in your class that he thinks he can talk like that. What's that line that the guy who gets fired towards the end of Mad Men says to Don? That it's like, you know, you're not a good person, you're just handsome. It's not the same thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, Eddie does add that he'll give her a ride home. So maybe the next episode will open with her making out with him in his car. Let's hope, because this one leaves her looking embarrassed and sad. And that's the end. Let's close it up by naming our most valuable player. Todd, honestly, only for that reaction after the scene with Natasha. It really made me laugh.
Really, like, if there was, like, a podcast where the Todd character just, like, gossiped about these people and made fun of them, I would consider listening to it.
Yes.
I will pick CJ and Jen as a pair.
That's good. Good choice.
Good looking out.
Least valuable player. Well, leaving aside the would-be felon, I'm going to, at the party with Audrey, I'm going to say Joey. Get over yourself. You are not that special. You are regular.
No, you could just be polite to people. It's not that difficult.
No, it's not.
Professor Freeman, get your shit together. Please leave Jack out of it. And writer's room, please stop with the predatory teachers. I fucking can't. Next time on Again With This, Dawson defends Natasha. Dawson... Very different show. Dawson defends Natasha, Eddie defends Joey, and there really is no defending either the show's obsession with trying credits cast ladies as lead singers, or its inability to stop the disastrous student-teacher pairings. Speaking of disastrous, it's our visual aids, but it's not our fault. You can blame millennial quote fashion. We're still going to do screenshots and GIFs for every episode of the Again With This podcast, and you can find those, along with our full archive of episodes, on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. I'm ineffectual inebriation remedy beloved by television, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Just a Party Fact, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is a classic. Talk to you next time.